I want to do a little lesson on peace in life situations. You know, I think we all have to deal with all kinds of situations in our lives. You know, maintaining peace of mind in the midst of all kinds of circumstances and situations and problems is sometimes very hard to do. In fact, the reality is, according to 1 Peter 5:8, the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking those he may devour. You know, he causes all the chaos and the trouble and corruption and wickedness. And, you know, he is the author of everybody that's suffering harm and experiencing troubles and all kinds of stuff. He is our adversary. You know, I think we all have to deal with problems sometimes, don't we? Yes. Are y'all there? Y'all gone home? I ask a question. How many of you have ever had to deal with situations and problems? We all have. We all do. Yes. You know, years ago, it had to be years ago because Dad's been gone since 2003. So it was when I was a kid anyway, maybe 12 years old. A man come up to Dad and said, "Brother Hagin, I want you to pray that I won't have any more trouble with the devil." And my dad looked at him and said, "Do you want me to pray that you'll die?" Because that's the only time we're not going to have any trouble with the devil. Because the truth is that as long as we're on this earth, he is going around causing problems. The Bible says that he is. And so, you know, what is our way out of all this? Well, you know, first of all, we got to listen to what Jesus said in John 16:33. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble and situations and so forth and so on, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Then Paul writing in Philippians 1:28, not in any way terrified by your adversary, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation and from God. Now, the NIV says it like this: without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Now, here Paul is saying that as people of God, we need to let the enemy know that we are not frightened in the least by all of his shenanigans and all the things that he's pulling on us. You know, he's telling us, actually, he's saying in one sense of the word, when we are not afraid, the enemy takes this as a sign that that we're going to win and he's going to lose. Now, the opposite is true. Then if you become terrified and fretful and fearful, then the enemy thinks, hey, I got this guy defeated, and he comes on stronger than ever. So in the midst of all of our situations and our circumstances, our trials, we have to have a mindset that says that I'm going to have peace even in the middle of trouble. Amen. In fact, if we've studied the Word of God, we'll find out that he said that we could have peace in the midst of our troubles. Yes, now, turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. We're going to start reading with about the sixth verse. And some of them find it in your Bible, find it on your iPhone, iPad. I got both of them right here. All right. I'm going to read the New King James, then I'm going to read the NLT. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now let's read it from the NLT, the New Living Translation, sometimes it gives us a little bit better understanding of it in our language. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, these verses tell us how to have peace in the midst of our situation, of life's situation. So we're going to break it down into three parts. We're going to break it down into three parts. Philippians 4, 6, the A part, be anxious for nothing. NLT said, don't worry about anything. See, we can't afford to be anxious, worrying, fretting. That only leads to being fearful. You know, my dad used to say all the time, don't worry about anything. Because if you're worrying about something, then that means that you're not in faith of what the Word of God has said about it. Now, there's a whole big difference between worry and concern. Okay? Concern is one thing. Worry is wringing your hands and, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, that you don't need to do. What are you going to do? You're going to do what the Bible says. The Bible says, trust in me and I will deliver you. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Huh? You know, so here it is. A lot of people, you know, they're having panic attacks. I was just reading something recently about how many people that were having panic attacks, and they're anxious, and how many people were on medication for this particular thing. And yet, if you do what the Word of God tells you to do, you don't have to take no medication. Now, there are times when people need medication, and I'm not against medication at all, but if you quit worrying and fretting and let the peace of God, see, the Bible says that he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, Isaiah 26:3, I think it is. You ever notice that it's your mind that starts going haywire when there's problems and situations? The mind starts telling you, oh, this could happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if you do have to go to the doctor, and there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor, so that they don't get in lawsuits, they will tell you everything that's even remotely possible that could happen. How many of you know that? And if you're not careful, you can allow the enemy to use that on your mind to get you all out of faith and out of trusting God. Come on now. Just whenever she went to have her nose cauterized Friday, I mean, he started telling, he's a good doctor, and I've been to him before for my ear, and he was telling her everything, what to do, and this might not work, and if it don't work, blah, blah, blah. He went on and on, and if you're not careful, you'll get yourself so worked up that it's liable to start happening because you're so anxious and you get your blood pressure all worked up. How many understand what I'm saying to you? But see, we need to learn to just rely on God. Don't be anxious. In fact, we are not designed. God tells us not to carry our burdens. Psalms 55:22. Turn to Psalms 55:22. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I want you to look at these scriptures. If we don't guard our minds, we become delusional and paranoid about everything. You know, you can get fearful of something that don't even exist. You know, I was about 13, 14, down there in Garland, Texas, and I slept in the back of the house. There's a back door going outside. And it was, you know, back then, I guess people have addition blinds, but we had them shades that you pull up and down. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, in the middle of the night, if one of those springs lets go, and it, anybody know what I'm talking about? Scare you half to death. But with the shade, if there was a light outside, there would be a shadow. Well, I woke up, I heard this noise, and it was a scraping, like, you know, and I looked over at the window, and it looked like a, you know, it looked like a hand going down on the screen out there, what it looked like, and making noise. And, you know, and at first, you grabbed a cover, put it over your head, you know, I'm 12, 13, I guess. And finally I said, well, nothing's happening. It's the same thing. Oh, it must be. And so I got up and I opened the door, and the wind was blowing really hard, and that old mimosa tree out there, it was scraping against the side of the house, but every time that limb came down, the way it looked like a man's hand coming down, you know. And there I was, frightened of nothing. Do you understand? The enemy will begin to play with our minds and get us all messed up over nothing. That's what he said to do. It said that he goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He'll, you know, like I said, Psalms 55:22, y'all found that now, didn't you? Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now I want to read that in the NLT. Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. You know, isn't it funny what people do sometimes? You know, Dad, Dad pastored. He left the last church when I was in the middle of my third grade year, and we traveled in between. He pastored four different churches. I remember three of them, and the fourth one he pastored when I was born. Then he went back to that church again. But I remember Farmersville and Gregton and Van. I remember those. He pastored in Talco. I sort of remember that, but I was pretty young then. But I do remember that because I got a scar right here, and it goes all the way through my lip because he told me to stay in the car. I was 2 and a half, I think. And he went into the post office, and I got out, and I fell out, and I hit my lip on a rock, and I got it went all the way through, you know. And I talk about people. You know, they're funny. This lady, I'm traveling with Dad sometime or another, I don't know, when in my teenage years. And this lady comes up and she said, Brother Hagin, would you pray that the Lord would take half of my burdens? I think I can carry part of them, but I can't carry them all. I'm serious. And of course, Dad said, well, I'm not going to pray for something like that. He said, the Lord says that we to give all of our burdens to the Lord. Not just part of them, all of them. You know, actually, that's what 1 Peter 5 says. I'm going to read 1 Peter 5. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. 1 Peter 5 from the Amplified. Some of you probably got your iPad or your iPhone. You probably got that translation there. All right. Cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns. Every once in a while?
All the time.
Once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully.
Amen.
You know, Henry Ward Beecher said, the whole burden of the whole life may be rolled onto God and not weary him, though it has wearied man. We are not designed to carry burdens. He's told us in the Word of God, cast our cares on him. Now, cast means to throw away from. Okay, that's my little pocket knife, Glenn. And I'm going to cast my pocket knife away. Now, I cast my pocket knife, and Glenn's got it. He's carrying it. I'm not carrying it anymore. I want my bite knife back now. Now, that's what some people do with their burden. They go pick them back up. But don't do that. But see, you've got to cast, throw all of your burdens over him. And once you throw your burdens over, then you forget about them. Hello? He's carrying them. He said, give them to me. I'll take care of them. Now, if we maintain our peace, we come out ahead in the situations that we're dealing with. Look at Psalms 37, 7, 8, and 9. Psalms 37, 7, 8, and 9. And I'm reading this out of both New King James and the NLT so you can get a little better perspective of it. Psalms 37, 7. Okay, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now here it is in more of a modern language. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. See, one of the biggest battles that you will fight will be in the mind. Because the mind is what controls your body, what controls what goes on. That's why he says that you renew your mind with the word, so that whenever the pressures come and all of these mess start, the enemy starts throwing everything at you, you can immediately begin to quote the word to him. See, no weapon, I quote it every day, sometimes two or three times a day, no weapon formed against me will prosper. The position I stand in, many times you got many people throwing arrows at you. But no weapon formed against me will prosper. It's what the Bible says. I'm not even going to fret about it. I'm not going to be upset about it. Then you're on crusade. Out on the crusade the other week. We get two emails from two department heads. Well, not department head, but one department head and one key person in the ministry, of our 200 employees over there. Well, I'm in the middle of crusade. One of them is a very key position because it has to deal with IT. And if anybody knows now, everything is on computers. I mean, how many of you work at a job where you do everything on the computer? I mean, it's the whole thing runs on computer. People, the payroll goes on computer now. Hello, come on. All of this. Now, that's one way the enemy can deal with it. He starts hammering at our mind. We got to preach. We're in the middle of a crusade. We got to minister to people. People are depending on us to minister to them and give them the word and help them to come through their situations. See, now I'm telling you that. Don't feel sorry for me, but I'm telling you that. Hey, I deal with the same kind of situations that you do. They may be either different, but we all deal with this. Oh, your first thought is, oh, my Lord. What are we going to do? And then your next thought is, well, praise God. We're just going to keep going like we always do. Lord, you're going to provide. Amen. I mean, that's the way you keep peace. Otherwise, the enemy will hound you to death. See? Winning the battle in the mind is actually refusing to be anxious, be upset, refusing to worry. Refusing to be burdened down. That's the big secret to having success. Refuse to worry, but quote the word. Say what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. See, the first thing, we need to give our burden to the Lord. That happened. I said, okay, there you go. You got it. Now, second thing, we take everything to God in prayer. See, first of all, we're talking about not being anxious. Now, second thing, Philippians 4:6, the B part of that scripture, and the seventh verse. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Pray and tell everything to God. Thank him for all that he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts, your mind, as you live in Christ Jesus. See, he wants us to bring every situation, every problem to him and talk to him about it and then let him take care of it. You know, I would go and talk to Dad, and now he's got the problem. This is our problem. Okay, now you handle it. The position that we sit in, Lynette and I sat in, people come to us all the time with all kinds of situations that's happening there at the campus. And they walk out of the office. Now it's mine to make sure that something happens. Hello? So God is saying, okay, come to me, talk to me about it, and I'll give you peace, and you walk out and leave the situation with me, and you just have peace. That's exactly what he's saying. See, somebody said, well, what do you, you know what? I go and pray and talk to God just like that I would go in to my dad's office and sit down and start talking to him. I talk to God just like I would talk to you, or, you know, he's our father. Go in and talk to him. Tell him all you, it's what the scripture, and what the scripture says here. Tell him all what you need. And then John 15:7, we all know what that says. You might want to turn there. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done. And then we go to 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We may not see the answer yet, but we know that God is working because we've talked to him and he's working on it. Hello. Amen. Now, there's that Jesse Rayner back there. He works at the ministry. He's an electrician, and he's an electrician. He's also a personal friend of my grandson that helps him with his race car. Well, the other day I said to Jesse, such and such, such and such, such and such on the trailer, race trailer needs to be looked at. Okay. Now, I haven't thought about that at all because I have confidence that when I talk to him about something, he will go and take care of it. One of them was a light on the trailer, and he just told me the other day, hey, I got that light fixed. But I hadn't even thought about it since I told him about it. Why? Because my confidence, I knew him. I know what he does. My confidence was in the fact that he would do the job. That's the way we have to get with God. Go to God, give it to him, talk to him about it, and then walk away with confidence that he's going to take care of it. Help me understand where I'm coming from on that. See, but many people, they walk away and they still concerned about, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, what in the world did you even go talk to him about it for? If you still going to carry it, come on. See, we've got to resist the fear to entertain thoughts when we don't see it happening right away. Man, in prayer, you go and you talk to him. Do you understand? Sometimes we're asking for things that God has to work on some other situations before this situation can be worked out. Anybody understand where I'm coming from? Yes. Hello. Once you prayed and asked God about the situation, you put your confidence in him and that, and know that he will do what he promised. How many times in the Word of God do we read about that? With Abraham, we read, he said that he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he would do. Amen? He would perform it. Now, the third thing is guard your mind. You got, you know, and we go to Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, you know, good report, meditate on these and so forth. And I like the way the NLT says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Thinking the wrong thoughts will get you believing wrong. You know, when you think the right thoughts, these words are true, noble, pure, just, these are filter words that screen out stuff. You know, if a thought doesn't meet the criteria that we've read here in this word, hey, throw it out. Don't think on it. Don't think on it. Hello? You know, now some of you guys know this, but some of the ladies don't know this. Your car has an oil filter on it. And the oil goes through that filter. As the oil goes through that filter, that filter catches any little piece, shavings of metal and all kinds of stuff. That's why you have to change filter all the time. Hello. Then if you had a carburetor on a car, now they're fuel injected, but they still have some kind of breathing system there. And there's a filter. What's that filter do? It catches dust and sand and dirt and stuff to keep it from getting in to those parts. You see, we have to use these words as filters. And something comes to your mind. Oh, that's not in line. Okay, let the filter catch it. Don't think those thoughts. Come on. Don't think those thoughts. If it doesn't meet the criteria, throw it out. Now I'm going to say something. You and I are responsible for what we think on. Now, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure keep him from building a nest in your hair, if you got any, that is. I think you understand what I'm saying. The enemy is going to bring the thoughts through the ear grate or the eye gate or somehow, but that's where you've got to filter out and say, nuh-uh, I'm not going to think on those thoughts. They've been sometimes I listen to people talk and I just get up and walk away. I tell them my ears and my mind's not a trash can. I'm not going to listen to that junk. Amen. Come on now. Let's just be honest. See, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. According to what is said here, Paul's saying here, we need to deal with all of these thoughts and these attitudes and imaginations that the enemy is feeding through our mind. See, the enemy, he has to come through your ear gate, your eye gate, or somehow. He has to feed through your mind. He can't get to the Spirit. Here's where the Spirit of God's dwelling down here. The Spirit of God, that's why you renew your mind with the Word of God, so that the Spirit and the mind come together. Yes. Hello. Come on now. See, we are to get rid of any thoughts that don't agree with what the Word of God says. Hello. You know, we need to realize that we have to have right thinking in order to have right believing. And there's a book out there written by my dad called Right and Wrong Thinking. In it, he talks about wrong thinking will produce wrong faith and get you nothing. Right thinking will produce right believing and will get you whatever you need. Right thinking will lead your mind to a peaceful state by thinking right. I want to read this, so I want to say it. We don't have to allow the problems around us to get within us and take away our peace. You're always going to have the problems around you. Jesus said it in John 16:33. We're always going to have trials, tribulations, so forth and so on. But we don't. They're out here. We don't have to let them in. We don't have to let them in our mind. Don't think on them. Don't think of those thoughts. In the midst of the storm of life, we can have peace. Now, some people are just carrying cares that they don't need to carry. They need to cast them on the Lord. Other people are trying to solve problems themselves when they need to just bring them to God in prayer, and that's it. And then some people need to make a commitment to guard their minds and not to think on those things. You see, it's up to you whether you have peace in your life situation. It's not up to God. He's already done everything he's going to do about you having peace in life situations. He told you about it here in the Word of God. When you become born again and become a new person in Christ Jesus, then the Word of God tells you how to live that way and be that way and enjoy life. You remember he said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it halfway. Have it. I like what the NIV says. Have it to the full. Yes, that you might have life and have it more abundantly, the King James or New King James says. But have it to the full. He wants us to enjoy life and have a full life, both naturally and spiritually. Yes, come on now. Amen. He blessed. You read the Bible. He blessed Abraham. He blessed all the people. He blessed them in the natural and in the spiritual. Yes. And that's the way we need to live our lives. But it's up to you whether you live it that way or not, because God's already done all he's going to do about it. Here is the road to peace in every situation. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word. I pray, Father, that as this word has gone forth, I pray that it find lodgment in every heart, and may everybody make the adjustment that needs to be made in their lives. And may we live our lives to the full with joy and peace. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. You know, I can look across the crowd and know that most of you already know Christ, but I want to make sure. I want to make sure that you're in the right place with God. You know, sometimes we sort of turn and go in the opposite direction. We need to rededicate our lives. Are there a lot of people that they've gone to church all of their life, ever since they're a kid, but they don't know whether they've ever actually accepted Christ or not? Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody in the room, anywhere. Praise the Lord. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. Spirit gave them utterance. It's not church, creed, or doctrine, what the Bible says. And if anybody here would like to receive the Holy Spirit tonight, we'd be glad to pray with you about that. Anybody? Praise God. All right, everybody, stand, please. We also believe in healing around here. The Bible says that by His stripes we were healed. Anybody need prayer for healing tonight? I want to pray with you. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Come on down. Stand right here. We'll lay hands on you. Bible says they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. Just step right here. Come right up here. Right here. Praise the Lord. There comes a lady right there. Praise God. Everybody reach your hands out toward them as I pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for healing power. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the healing power of God. This high blood pressure has to go. Father, I thank you for healing in this man's body right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for healing in this body right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands up and thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may wonder why some of them staggered back and maybe even she fell. Well, the only explanation I can come up with is when the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something's got to give, and it's sure not going to be the supernatural. So that's why I think. See, the power of God is like the wind. You don't see the wind. You see the results of the wind. And that's what you see when you see people sort of stagger back, sometimes fall. It's just that's the power of God. That's what it is. It's just that simple, you know. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Well, do something with it then. Praise God. Hey, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, same place. If you're a visitor with us, Jane, go ahead, take the visitors. We got a special gift for you. 6 o'clock next Sunday night, come believing, come expecting. We started this when we started here. We started on Sunday night because I didn't want to do the video thing. And I've been wanting to do something over here for some time. So we decided to enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night. You know, they started Saturday night services so you could go Saturday night and then you'd be off all day Sunday. Well, why not be off all weekend and come Sunday night? Hello. Hey, God bless you. We enjoyed ministering to you tonight. Trust you received. I'll be at one door. She'll be at the other one. We'll be here next Sunday night, same time, same place. God bless.